time to play with pain, where sports and inaccuracy collide. Now, here's your host, veteran sportscaster, and the voice of the International Speed Fishing Championships, Chet Waterhouse.
Oh, brother! Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My guest today, legendary ball player, 14 years in the majors, 17 teams, crazy eyes, but a huge heart. And by that, of course, I mean he has a freakishly enlarged heart. The great Tommy Ginch Henderson is going to be joining us. We're doing our World Series preview in just a second. Ginch and I are going to be simulcasting Game 3 of the Dodgers-Rays matchup this Friday over on StarburnSports.com. So watch it on TV, but listen to us, and we should have a fun guest or two stop by the booth as well. Sponsored for real by my sponsor here on Play With Pain, MeUndies. Now, if you haven't tried these MeUndies, they're unbelievable. They start with this sustainably sourced beechwood trees. So all you hippies out there can feel great about wearing this underwear because it's trees that they turn into a pulp. I don't know the process. Don't ask me. And then they turn the pulp into like a yarn, which is soft. And then they weave that into underwear. And they're the most unbelievably comfortable underwear in the world. It's called micromodal. That's the fiber. And it's super soft. And it gets softer with every wash. That's the amazing thing. It almost encourages you to do your wash, which is impressive. And it comes in all kinds of colors. They got classic solids if you're a straight ahead guy or gal. They got bright colors, and they got wild prints like pandas and dragons and flames and sushis. You can just get about anything you want out of it. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. And like I say, they got men's, women's, kids. They got the whole thing. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off plus free shipping. It's a slam dunk. They got 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can't go wrong. To get 15% off your first order, plus free shipping and the 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/pain. That's MeUndies.com/pain. You know, I just saw a thing in the news about how all the FedEx and UPS and all that, they're going to be swamped at Christmas time. People encouraging you to start your Christmas shopping now. I'm telling you, these are the perfect gifts. They got underwear, they got t-shirts, they got lounge pants, they got everything. Men, women, kids, go there. MeUndies.com/pain and get this incredible offer. You will thank me later. All right. Also, oh yes, my stat man, Jeff Cesario's new comedy album, What Was I Thinking? Streaming now everywhere. Recorded at the legendary Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So go get that. And as always, before we get to my guest, Tommy Ginch Henderson, time for the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Needle and Thread, the Amish Bedazzler. NFL, Arizona pummeled the Cowboys worse than a tornado on a mobile home park. Andy Dalton replaced Dak Prescott like Roger Moore replaced Sean Connery. Chiefs beat Buffalo Patrick Mahomes like that poor guy selling HVAC at Costco. He just keeps coming at you. Packers did their Mariah Carey impression, played for about 18 minutes and then left the stage. They should be more embarrassed than Jeffrey Toobin. That wrap-up sponsored by the Thunder Burps, the Air Force belching team. Hockey, everyone. A moment of silence for the great hockey announcer, Mike Emmerich. Oh, wait. I read that wrong. He didn't die. He just retired as an insanely wealthy man. Whew. Oh, brother. College football. After a long recruiting battle, Bama coach Nick Saban finally got coronavirus. Just beat out Florida's Dan Mullen. That item sponsored by McStiffin's fully hardened Irish oatmeal. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1910, the place Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the first ever use of a cork-filled baseball in the World Series. A cork-filled baseball bat did not appear till 2017 with the Houston Astros. This Waterhouse Update brought to you by the Fjord Focus, the world's first deep-sea automobile. Now, finally, it's talk time. My guest today, tremendous sportscaster for StarburnSports.com, former major leaguer who still holds the record for most times hit by a pitch in the groin, and slowest stolen base ever. Welcome to the show, Tommy Ginch Henderson. Ginch, how are you today?
I'm doing great there, Chet. Thanks for having me in here.
Oh, man, you look good. Now, let's remind the folks, Ginch and I are going to be simulcasting Game 3 of the World Series Friday night for StarburnSports.com. We're going to talk that series in just a second, Gincher. But for fans who don't know the Ginch, we'll talk a little bit about you. Boston accent, but not raised anywhere near there. Is that correct?
No. It's interesting, Chad. I was raised in Queens, New York, in a neighborhood known as Little Boston.
Oh, interesting. I did not know.
Yeah, it's absolutely
true. Neighborhoods in cities. I didn't know that.
Little Boston is a long established Queens tradition. It's right near Flushing. In fact, I was raised in the south part of Little Boston in a little neighborhood known as Little Southie.
Little Southie, sure.
Little Southie. Southern part of Little Boston in Queens. Absolutely.
You got a lot of toughness in you from there.
Because growing up in Little Boston, you know, you're constantly being attacked by ethnic New Yorkers all around you. By ethnic, I mean they're New Yorker by birth, whereas I'm a Bostonian by birth, born in Queens.
Understood. Now, you have bone injuries in your legs playing days that actually help you slide better and faster. Is that correct?
Well, I had so many protruding bone fragments that by the time I was in the eighth year of my career, my legs were hideously deformed, but it allowed me to actually get a little hook on my slide. I could hook the base with parts of my leg.
So you could literally start maybe 3-4 feet wide of the bag, mm-hmm. and like a yacht pulling into port, you would actually just curve into the, that had to be an advantage many times for you.
I never hit for average. I never stole for percentage. But yeah, it ended up being a bit of an advantage out there on the base paths on the occasions that I did make it to base.
Yeah, you know, it's good that you never hit for average or stole for percentage or anything like that, because baseball's not much on stats. Now, you're known mostly for being an emotional wreck out there and somehow being able to make that an advantage on the playing field.
Well, yeah, you know, I was an emotional wreck for all 17 seasons that I played Major League Baseball. Just a mess. I don't remember a single game where I wasn't sobbing at least part of the time. And that created a sympathy or disgust in my opposition to the point where, you know, you don't want to throw a strike. You don't want to strike me out.
Yeah, yeah. And as a keen observer of humanity, sympathy or disgust, you could probably sense quickly and then use that like a poker player to your advantage.
Yeah, honestly, Chad, a lot of the time, I mean, my sorrow, uncomfortableness, and just emotional breakdowns were genuine. So I wasn't always able to consciously leverage my emotions, but I won't lie to you. There were times when if we really needed a base runner, I might turn on the waterworks a little more excessively than, yeah, you know.
Sure.
It's gamesmanship.
Yeah, that's your contribution. That's your way of hitting to the opposite field.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Because I never, in fact, hit to the opposite field on purpose.
Of course not. That's a skill set that very few people actually have. Now, before we get into this year's World Series, your career spanned baseball, American baseball. You did 17 teams in 14 years, three stints with the Montreal Expos.
That's right.
Then you went to Korean baseball for a little while.
That's right. Absolutely
right.
And
then you did not come back to the States. You went straight to Indonesian cricket.
I played Indonesian baseball for a season, and I smoothly segued into Indonesian cricket after that.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know Indonesian cricket's it's I wouldn't say top shelf. I think the Brits and India and perhaps Australia or New
Australia,
Zealand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're probably the top tier. But Indonesian cricket is not. This is not
right up there, Chet. Right up there, and yeah. I played on some pretty prominent teams there. What I did was I used my baseball skills, my batting skills, which were not considerable, but enough to sort of segue smoothly into Indonesian cricket. Played for three seasons, never learned how to play the game. Never learned the rules.
Well, you didn't have to. It was ultimately they did not rely on you out in the field much because, quite frankly, nobody knows what they're doing out in the field in a cricket match.
Not that I could tell. No. But, you know, as a batsman, just protecting those wickets, that was fun.
Yeah. Well, and that's the kind of simple focus that defined your career. One thing, one objective, bam, call a Tommy Ginch Henderson.
Absolutely right. In my second season, the Indonesian, my manager there, or whatever they called him, offered me a translator to help explain the game. I turned him down flat.
Yeah, you don't need to know why upset the apple cart when it's rolling down the hill.
Why argue with success?
Yeah, exactly. That's a briefer way to summarize what I
was
trying to
summarize. Why argue with success is what I always say. I love apples.
And I believe they're called, I still think they're called managers, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Let's talk World Series. How close did you get to a World Series?
Not even remotely. Never made it out of the first round of the playoffs. I was on the roster for, I believe it was the Cardinals in one of their World Series runs, but they cut me from the roster long before we reached the World Series.
So you were on the team that eventually won the World Series. But earlier in the season, when they had a chance to assess your skill set, and decided they did not need your skill set.
Oh, they actively decided. I mean, they actually cut the roster down to one man less than
what
they
normally are
allowed. Yeah.
Wow.
So they could have kept me on. I think they realized that I had not contributed enough to deserve a ring, and thus they removed me.
Wow. Hard not to take that personally.
Yeah, now, I did. I was a wreck for years.
Yeah, that may have been one of the triggers. You know, I don't want to wake Freud and dive into that what sounds like a tectonic plate shift of a youth having to grow up Bostonian in
Queens. Yeah.
In Queens in Little Southie.
Pummeled regularly in Little Southie by their local Queens people.
And now did your family come to your defense? I don't mean to
that Bostonian ethos, that sort of hard-nosed Bostonian ethos that I grew up with in Queens. You know, it's every man for himself.
Yeah. And that's inside a bubble that is already
pretty hard-nosed.
Yeah. That's the best way to say it, hard-nosed, because you could get bopped right on the nose, and a lot of those guys, their nose didn't even move.
Picture me, 8-year-old kid in Little Boston, in the middle of Queens, wearing a Red Sox cap.
Yeah, that's just gonna, back then too. Yeah, there wasn't even mutual respect back then. Hey, those observations.
No, there was not.
No. Brought to you by Sticky Buns, the breakfast joint with hot girls telling funny jokes. That Sticky Buns. Do you like the best of seven series, or would you do something different? With the size of the World Series,
I cut all the playoff series down personally, Chet.
To what?
As little as possible. I'm not much of a fan of baseball.
So for instance, 5-inning game, rain delay, and then you're fine. You're okay with whoever wins that moves on.
At most, honestly. You know, one of the beautiful things about the sport that I played for so long and that I now
and there's
an
so many beautiful things about
there's
baseball.
So many beautiful, as we always talk about when we broadcast.
Yeah, on our
one
broadcast.
One of the beautiful things about baseball is the games go on so long with so little happening that you just want to kill yourself by the end of every game.
Sure. So you're saying keep it briefer and maybe just keep it to a fairly intense level of mental depression.
I would absolutely. I'd say 3 innings per game, 5-game series.
Oh, I like it. So a total max 15. And in fact, they could probably knock that off in a day or two, like a comedian doing a Vegas showroom, 7 shows in a day. Boom, you're done.
Absolutely. Rip the scab off is what I say. Get to football season.
Yeah, sure. Sure. that's what a lot of teams are thinking in the National and American League, because they're not involved in the playoffs. So they're thinking, can't they move this along and we'll get to football season and then get to next baseball season even faster?
Absolutely right.
That's brought to you by Gargoyles, scarily holding up the corners of buildings for over 500 years. You've been around the game, Tommy Ginch Henderson, my guest and my color man on the StarburnSports.com simulcast this Friday. Game three of the World Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays.
And you know, Chad, if I can interject there, we should point out to your listeners what this simulcast is, because it's a really exciting piece of technology. What happens is you, the home viewer, turn on your television set to our sister network, Fox TV, who will be broadcasting the World Series, and you turn down the sound, and I'm making a dial sound, and kids, yeah, ask sure. your grandparents to describe what this is. But you turn down the sound.
You did grow up
sound.
In South.
Oh, yeah.
Southy.
We called it the clicker. Anyway, you turn down the sound on your television. Turn up us at StarburnSports.com. We offer live, simultaneous, simulcast audio from the booth, me and Chet Waterhouse.
You did get banged in the head as a kid, because why would you call a knob a clicker? What rule change would you like to see? Because you've been around the bigs forever. You've been in it. You've played in it. You've coached a little. And now you're in the booth. What's the one rule that to you, when you are watching a game, you go, ay, why don't they change that? That rule bothers the heck out of Tommy Ginch Henderson.
It's the infield fly rule, obviously, Chet.
Well, of course.
Now,
why would that
it.
Be obvious?
Yeah. Nobody understands it. And also, it's kind of a fun part of the game when you think about it. You're going to catch the ball. You're going to catch the ball. Then you go, oops, look, I didn't catch it. I guess you better get back to the base. That's some fun stuff there, Dan. And it's robbed by the infield fly rule.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a certain level of drama that has been.
And isn't that the beauty of baseball? Year after year, season after season, the people who fine-tune the rules do everything they can to leech all drama, excitement, and pace out of the game.
Yep. And incidentally, this is the kind of intense and razor-sharp interaction that you'll get on our simulcast. Dodgers come from way back, Tommy Ginch. They were down 2-0 and 3-1. Are they spent or are they excited?
Well, this is their third World Series in 4 years, isn't it, Chet? And they've yet to win, so I think they're excited. But if they're like me, and I hope that they're not, they're fatalistic. They feel like, oh, no, the wheels are going to come off the apple cart,
yeah.
Point of phrase,
sure.
One more time. And so I'd say they're probably nervous. They're probably going to be playing a little bit tighter than than the loose, happy-go-lucky Tampa Bay no longer Devil Rays.
Yeah, just the Rays. We were just discussing that prior to the show that it appeared, apparently, with the exception of the Duke Blue Devils, anything south of the Mason-Dixon line has to have the word devil excised right out of the title for public use, or else there's a hue and cry from the community. They just don't like it. A lot of devils in the north.
Yeah, there's a lot of worry down south that if you use the word devil, you might be summoning Satan, you know, right into your life, you know, which is not an insane belief. I mean, I practiced Satanism for three seasons in Major League Baseball, and I saw some weird shit.
Yeah, well, it gave you, I think, a bit of a competitive edge. If I'm not mistaken, .263, your highest career seasonal batting average, came during in that window, in that Satanist window.
Absolutely. And that's counting like, you know, one out of every seven games I could barely move because I bled myself dry from my satanic master.
Yeah.
Had almost no blood in my body and yet, you know, managed to hit .263.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. That's a lot of swinging bunts there.
Yeah, absolutely. Which,
yeah, that's just
it. Barely, you know, lift the bat every Sunday because of that, my the Black Sabbath, as we called it.
Yeah, not but I imagine. Yeah, when you're in the batter's box, feeling that way, barely a drop of blood in your system, but of mm-hmm. course, mentally zoned in on you, on your slave master.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. The Dark Lord himself. Absolutely. And you know what? I might have stayed with Satanism, but it's just, it gets really expensive over time. And I never was a top earning ball player.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, You're the only player, I believe, with the 14 seasons under your belt who is not getting a pension.
Yeah, I was told early on that I could continue to play ball as long as I wanted. I was never going to get the pension. Man, I didn't take it personal. Never.
No, still got to be a thrill.
I was the only ball player that earned under league minimum.
Still got to be a thrill to step in that batter's box as a Satan worshiper and have that catcher look up to you and with all sincerity say, "Are you okay?" And then, you know, boom, you got the green light for the swing and bunt. That's a sure Absolutely. Single right there.
Absolutely. I would always answer honestly, sobbing and telling him that I was not.
That brought to you by Pecan Goo. What do you think holds a pecan pie together? Your mother's love? Now, speaking of those Tampa Bay Rays, they're around mostly to irritate people, I believe, and other franchises. They did go to the series and win it in 2006. Do they care that their franchise history is maybe 20 years old, going up against a perennial fan favorite, the Dodgers?
Now, you know, Chet, these Tampa Bay Devil Rays, they don't care about anything. And it is that attitude that has carried them all the way to the World Series. There's no concern for the game, for each other, for human life itself. Devil may care. Devil may care. Players out there, they're just having a good time. They're the good old boys like the Dukes of Hazzard before them, just enjoying themselves. And you know what? Everybody didn't want them to be there. That's the important thing that they know. Like, everybody wanted to see the Houston Astros lose, but they wanted to see the Houston Astros lose to a team like the Dodgers, a team that could get revenge. You know, it's like, suddenly we're in the final reel of Return of the Jedi, and the Empire's already lost.
Yeah,
and now it's just the Rebel Alliance is playing against the fucking Rays.
Yeah, I tell you, I really wish now I'd seen a couple of those movies. You prefer a long ball because it's showboat baseball, you know, or do you prefer manufacturing runs the old-fashioned way? That's what a lot of people call real baseball. You get a walk, you steal a bag, you get a sack fly, another
small
sack
ball.
Small ball, yeah.
Small ball.
What do you like better, personally?
I've never been a fan of small ball. Not the game and not the testicles. I like the big ball. I like seeing somebody hit it out. I like seeing them flip their bat around. I like seeing the opposing pitcher getting mad about the bat being flipped. The opposing pitcher throwing the ball at the batter the next time he's there, and then somebody throwing the ball at one of the opposing team because the ball got thrown at his batter, and pretty soon everybody's out of the dugout and slugging each other like idiots. I love that kind of baseball.
It's a melee, a brouhaha. It's pandemonium out there. I would say this, though. If you're going to play small ball, they should have big sacks. The bases should be bigger because the ball itself is smaller. So give the players a bit of an advantage. Small ball, but big sacks.
So you favor small balls, big sacks?
Yeah, and then I think you're telling me that you favor a large ball,
big balls,
and a regular sack.
Small to regular sack. Absolutely.
I don't know if you can fit that game into the park correctly.
Oh,
anyway,
be full of bursting is the way I say. You see it.
That is bursting with energy. Yeah. Whereas mine will sneak up on you. Anyway, that's that whole bizarre analogy brought to you by coins. We're still perfectly good money, you know. Now, do you like these bullpen games? The teams have been forced into them because of these short playoff, schedules where they're playing every single day. They don't have the day off to rest. They don't get the pitchers in rotation. Then all of a sudden, boom, they got to start with one guy who's going to pitch an inning maybe, and then another guy comes down for two and another guy comes down for an inning, and they use up their whole bullpen in order to save a starter for the next day. Is that going to remain even when the schedule loosens up again?
Well, you know, Chet, that's an awesome question. It's one of the reasons why I love being your partner in the booth, because you ask the picante questions, the piquant questions. I'm going to say that they probably will do it again next year, because isn't that the beauty of baseball, where they constantly pass arbitrary rules that kind of change everything?
Yeah, it is. I mean, they have a knack for doing things that both slow down the game and at other times attempts to speed them up, and at other times attempt to make them more intricate, and always, yeah, always, always consistently make them less interesting.
And consistently now, inconsistent. I want to point out, Chet, that as we hit the World Series, suddenly all that strategy that you had to use to get to the World Series goes out the window, where because they're taking 2 days off in the 7-game series to make it align more like a traditional World Series, which means that the bullpen skills that you use to get yourself to that World Series no longer apply. You can use your starters again.
Yeah, I like that. Or I like just going out and maybe each team in the World Series gets to pick two players from other teams and just bring them on the roster.
Just draft in the two biggest stars?
Well, whatever they want. It might not be big stars. Maybe you need a bullpen catcher.
Maybe you need the equivalent of a Tommy Ginch Henderson in there to just get on base when
you're there. Oh, you're on that beam. Hey, speaking of, now you a lot of people don't know this. You can hang on in the major leagues, and your last 2-3 years, you did this effectively as a bullpen catcher. It was an important part to a lot of teams. Now, what was the weirdest thing you saw in the bullpens? You know, you had to warm up a lot of big pitchers, a lot of famous pitchers. What would they say to you? What was your relationship like, and what's some of the weird things you saw in those bullpens?
There's so many pitchers are underratedly the absolute craziest position player. Every position has its personality there, Chet. The catchers are generally smart, although I was only a bullpen catcher, so I was about half as smart as most catchers. But the pitchers, they are crazier than a sack of squirrels. They just, like, all of them have gears turning in their heads because they're thinking through, they're overthinking everything.
Yeah.
So when I was playing with the Kansas City Royals, probably in the 92 season, that was the single most certifiably insane bullpen I've ever worked with.
Yeah, yeah. And now back then, if I recall correctly, I can't remember the kid's name. But he requested that you not use a glove to warm him up in the bullpen.
Lonnie Goodman. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lonnie thought that it was funny to see me. I was never much of a catcher, but he thought it was funny to see me react in terrible screaming pain whenever the ball hit my hands.
And that would loosen him up. And it would loosen him up. Closers in the business. Yeah.
In fairness, excellent closer. You know, he would be called out of the bullpen chuckling as I rolled on the ground in deep pain. Cause it was, you know, it's not just your hand, it's your wrist and your forearm. If you're playing without a glove, you're going to get hurt.
And a lot of times the back of your head, cause he threw 90, 95, that'd knock you right back into that mesh.
Oh, knock right back into the backstop. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to hurt you. That brought to you by Blip Sticks, the ammo for women. Just a couple more. Are the phones, now that's something I've always wondered, are the phones in the dugout actually attached to anything? Because they claim they have a bullpen phone, but it doesn't seem to work all the time. And then they claim they have a phone up to, where are those actually wired to?
You know, Chet, back in my day, they actually functioned as phones, but usually when it looked like a manager was calling the bullpen, his coach was signaling the bullpen. The manager was usually just making a phone call because back then we didn't have cell phones. So you'd be calling the wife to say, oh, this piece of garbage game is going to run for another 3 hours. You might as well have dinner without me kind of thing. Nowadays, when everybody has a cell phone and yet we still see managers pick up this giant thing with dials and hoops and wires on it and put it to his head, I think it's just, it's out of the love and respect for the tradition of the game. It's not connected to anything.
Yeah, it's a military field phone, actually. I believe they.
Yeah, it looks like one of those satellite phones that you used to use, you know, back when we were in Vietnam or something.
I didn't know you. You did a tour.
That's
how you probably made your connections for Bolo Ball and then the Korean baseball. Yeah, probably Southeast Asia made some connections out there before you, and that helped you slide into Indonesian cricket.
As it were, yeah. You don't have to slide in Indonesian cricket, and thank God by then my legs were shot.
Yeah. Now listen, showboat after a homer or just trot the bases? Which one do you like?
As I told you, Chet, I love the Showboat. I love the emotions it inspires. I love the anger that it incurs. Give me Showboats every time because they make what is otherwise a deathly dull game more interesting.
Yeah, and you did tell me that earlier. Had I only been listening, that brought to you by Cantanker Ale. Get cranky, drink Cantanky. It's got bite. Well, folks, my guest today, the legendary Tommy Ginch Henderson. Follow Tommy on Twitter at Adam Felber. That's a little thing he learned.
My alter ego.
Yeah, you learned to throw them out. Yeah, that's your performance guy when you have to do performances. Yeah. And Ginch, thank you. Now, listen, folks, this is the kind of wildfire chemistry you'll see Friday night on the Starburn Sports simulcast of the World Series, Los Angeles Dodgers, Tampa Bay Rays, Game 3. You go for your audio to starburnsports.com.
Yeah, and let me sum that up again. If you're just tuning in, and why the hell?
Because it's a technical thing, if I may. Technically speaking, I let Ginch handle all the technical stuff because I don't have a mind for the facts and figures and the magic of a modern computer technology and satellite stuff. But Ginch does. Ginch, explain how this works.
You got your TV set or your iPad, but probably your TV set. All right, and you turn that on to our system.
I turned it on.
Fox is carrying the World Series. You turn on Fox at the time.
I use my clicker to get to Fox.
You use your clicker. You turn on Fox. You're watching Fox, right? You're watching the World Series, Chet. You following me here?
Yeah, I got you.
You turn down your sound. You're not listening to John Buck or whatever yutz is doing that, okay?
Turn down my sound. Turn my volume down to zero.
Mute it.
Volume knobs on the clicker and get it down to zero.
Then on your phone or your iPad or your computer or your tablet or your laptop or something like that carries the internets on it, you navigate over to StarburnSports.com. We'll give you the audio. And not only that, my buddy, my partner, my play-by-play man, Chet Waterhouse, every inning or two is going to help you synchronize your picture with our sound.
So it's no problem because you can trust Tommy Ginch Henderson to guide you in like a flight helper on an aircraft carrier, just with the big flashlights, bring you straight in. Because I know if you're like me, that discussion Tommy Ginch just had, I almost need a schematic to let me through it. But
Turn down the sound on your television set.
Yeah, however that is happens. Yeah, and we'll help you through it Friday night. Hey, listen, follow me on Twitter at Chet Waterhouse and follow my comedian buddy at Real Jeff Cesario. His album, What Was I Thinking, streaming now everywhere. Thanks to all of you for listening, and thanks to my sponsor, MeUndies. If you want more of me this weekend, Friday night, I'm going to be with Tommy Ginch Henderson calling Game 3 of the World Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays. Should we go through one more time how they would sink? No. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.